everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in, but I also want to give a shout out to the friends who stumble on the dial. Maybe you have no faith to speak of, but you just sort of landed here and you're not sure what you're doing here. I'm so glad to have you listening as well, and I really trust that you're here not by accident, that God has you here, and I'm praying and believing that you're going to find encouragement here today, and you're going to just you're going to realize, maybe on a deeper level, that you're someone God deeply loves. Really glad you tuned in. Well, every month, once a month, we have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl on the show. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And it's so fun because I get emails from you friends asking, when's the next time he's coming on the show? Well, here we are today. So grateful to have him. And in a moment, we'll be taking calls. We're going to start out by talking just problem solving. What do you do by now? Most people have fallen off the wagon, so to speak, with New Year's resolutions. So how do you problem solve? How do you pick back up again and engage in things that are good for your soul, good for your health, and maybe what's unrealistic? I guess I'll ask Dr. Troy about that as well, because you set yourself up for discouragement when you set an impossible goal. So we'll be chatting for the first few minutes of the show, but if you want to be kind of the first in line, you can call now. The phone lines are open, 651-631. That's not it. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. A couple of quick announcements first. We are in full swing with our plans for the next Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. It's bigger and better this year. It takes place Friday and Saturday this time. And then in the afternoon on Friday, we're offering three separate tracks. It's a separate fee, so you could even just come to the track if you feel like you can't make it to the conference. We've got a jumpstart track for those who are just brand new to the publishing world and you just want to know, what about this thing? Liz Curtis Higgs and an acquisition editor named Alice Kreider will be teaching that together. Also have an advanced track. You have to qualify for that, have to have a couple books under your belt, helps you kind of take the next steps. And then a singer-songwriter track, which we're super excited about. So we've got lots going on with this conference, but we're talking about it now because now's the time you can set up your one-on-one appointments. Now you have the choice. You got the pick of this A-list faculty. We sold out last year pretty quickly, so I'm directing your attention now to the conference. The website is NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Excuse me. I also want to remind you to sign up for our Live Free Challenge. We're wondering how many miles we can do in February to help raise money to end human trafficking. We call it the Live Free Challenge because we're committed to seeing captives set free. Partnering with International Justice Mission and Venture, super easy to do. All you have to do, hop on the Live Free Challenge website. It's livefreechallenge.org. Determine how many miles you can walk, bike, or run in February. You set your goal. It takes a couple minutes to get it. It creates a page for you. You share that on your social media sites. Ask people to sponsor your miles. Last year, we raised $50,000 to help end trafficking. This year, our goal is $63,000. Hope you'll join us. Again, check it out, livefreechallenge.org. All right, let me tell you about my guest. I don't really think he needs an introduction, but let's do it anyway. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. And just a caveat, he's even traveling. He's leaving from here to the airport because he travels extensively. And we're going to talk to him when he's in the car on the way to the airport. So his mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota. It's Synapse. I get so many emails about that. Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. If you were to Google that with comma Eagan, E-A-G-A-N, you'll find his clinic. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Susie.
Always good to have you. And I mean, I can't believe that you're kind of stopping here on the way to the airport. Thank you for doing that.
It was on the way.
It was on the way. I don't think he's telling the truth, but anyway, we appreciate you. So I know you know this because you've been on so many times. We start with a verse. I wonder if you've got one ready for us.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I think I've even said it before being on here, but James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you.
Talk about that.
It's one that I live by, and for me personally, one of my favorite parts in that is ask God. Just those two words are just so powerful, and sometimes we get so busy in life that we just don't stop and ask God. And so to unpack that a little bit, there's so much there because when we ask a question, what are we supposed to do? Be quiet and listen. Mm. And so many times we just don't. But when we ask God, it's not just one simple, what am I hearing? God will show us in so many different ways. He will show us the answer through other people. He will show us with our eyes, with our hearts and what we feel by listening to other people. It's not just in that moment. And so many times I will be looking at a case, a difficult patient, trying to figure out what's going on here, and I'll get a phone call from another patient saying, I just got this symptom and tried this, and all of a sudden I'm feeling better. Do you think that's relevant to my case, or I should keep going? And it happens to be the solution to what I was looking for with this
Whoa,
other patient.
Whoa, isn't that amazing?
Happens all the time. In fact, it happened just yesterday where, and we were talking off air a little bit about this scenario, where I had a patient who really had a scenario where she wasn't believed. The doctors, she had seen 17 doctors.
17.
I was number 18.
Wow.
And she really hadn't been heard and wasn't believed. And so I knew that coming in. And so I had done some research ahead of time for her scenario. But wouldn't you know it, the very patient before I saw her was a phone call from one of my patients from California who happened to say the exact same things as far as what she was complaining about, the exact same symptoms. And I was able to literally just relay the information, the research that I had just read to this new person, and was able to tell the next patient that she's not alone, number one, but also because she's a believer and we walk in faith, I shared the story with her. I said, you know what? God talked to me through this person, showed me the science, and here's your belief. You don't have to go back to the other doctors and tell them that they are wrong, but if you want to, that's up to you.
Yeah, exactly. Do you mind sharing, just because it's an anonymous patient, do you mind sharing this scenario just because it's fascinating?
Yeah, with this particular patient, it's an itching disorder, and so she would get this tremendous itch in the skin, and it would break out into these sores on the arms, legs, the whole body. And when you go in and just kind of peel back the skin a little bit with your nail, and up would pop a little filament for some people, or the white little balls for other people, and the itch would stop instantly. And that's what this patient from California said. I've got these intense itching spots that when they show up, I just scratch it a little bit, and then it pops up and becomes a sore, but the itching goes away instantly. And there's pictures online of this, and it's called...
And you said, let me interrupt though, you said that some doctors would look at that as schizophrenia because they're scratching their arm and it looks like this obsessive habit.
Yeah, so, like an obsessive compulsive component to schizophrenia or some level of psychosomatic. That's what, and that was the diagnosis this poor gal had, was it was in your head. And that's what they used to think. And even in the research papers I found, it said up until 2 years ago, we used to think this was psychosomatic.
Oh, my goodness. Can
but now they've actually identified, they looked at the tissue and they did the actual biopsy, if you will, and they looked in and found DNA of bacteria from ticks. So they now believe it's a tick-borne illness. This particular disorder is called Morgellons, and it was quite significant to these people. First of all, it just... feeling heard is a big, big, big part of it. But there's a lot of people that are told that what they have is in their head. And it's not really proven out until science proves it. And so my point is, when you feel stuck in life, it's not just about science. And trust me, I come from a place of science. I use science, and it's a tool in my toolbox. But my faith guides me when science fails. And I can't tell you how many times that has happened in my career, where I get stuck, the science isn't there yet, it's not caught up, I need God.
And he has an answer.
He has an answer. There's always an answer. That's one of my steadfast beliefs, is that there is an answer to every single problem. I may not have it. I know God does, but I may not have it. And if it's in God's time, I might get it while you're here. But I encourage you to keep searching for it, because I know it's there.
Mm. How do you treat that Magellan's, or whatever you call it? How do you treat it?
Well, it's basically going to be treated like a Lyme's-based disorder. So the treatment's not 100% there yet, as far as I'd say. Every patient's a little bit different. But what I do know about this particular disorder is that generally it is older men and women that get it. And every single person that we've seen 3 cases of it now, that they're very dehydrated, especially at the level of the skin. So our immune system basically protects us. And for it to protect us, it has to swim in the fluid, in the water. And if there's no water there, it can't get there. So this bacteria can crawl. And what they found in these little filaments and things that are sticking out was it was made mostly from our own skin cells. And so, and then the other part of it was Borealis, mostly Borealis, this bacteria that's tick-borne, the DNA from Borealis. And so what they're doing, it's almost like a spider weaving its own web. They're using our own tissue to weave
unbelievable
a place to hide, if you will. But it's so much at the surface that it is, it actually comes out through the skin.
Hmm.
And so you see these little things being protruded through the skin. It's a dermatological disorder, and it's mostly dermatologists that are going to discover it or work with it. And it looks to be more of a Lyme's or tick-borne, I should say, based scenario. So with all Lyme's disease tick-borne scenarios, you have to make sure the adrenal glands are good, your immune system response is good, and you've got to get the immune system to the area, meaning there has to be moisture in the area. And if you don't sweat, if you don't get your immune system upregulated, then you're not going to overcome it. And like everything we've talked about in the past, the things that help our immune system more than anything is reduce your stress, make sure you get good sleep, get your antioxidants in there, make sure the lymph system is moving with good exercise, and drink lots of water. And those are the basics of just how to start getting the immune system ready for something like that. So you start with the basics, but then there'll be even some more details that we'll have to go into. We're going to have to possibly use some infrared sauna therapy and some other therapies that'll get more moisture to the surface of the skin. And we want to drive this out, not inward. So there's a bit of an art to it as well.
Wow, it's amazing. 28 years ago, when I was first diagnosed with Lyme, a gal gave me a self-published book by somebody else who years prior had a lot of just a host of crazy symptoms. And then there was a point where she was dragging one leg, and they put her in a psych ward and did shock treatments. She had Lyme disease. They just didn't know what they were dealing with back then. Shock treatments. And what they put her through was so unbelievable. Once she got out and someone discovered Lyme, they put her on antibiotics. She was a runner before that. Then she started to run again. It was like this miracle. And I know we have to take a break here, but I would venture to say most reasonably minded people aren't making this stuff up. If they don't feel well, you know, it's good to pursue till you find someone who will listen to you.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I told her in the room, she thanked me for believing her, and I said, I would rather look silly and dumb to my colleagues than know that I didn't listen to someone sitting in front of me that actually had a complaint.
Wow. Wow. Talking to Dr. Troy, when we come back, maybe we get to dig in a little. I just was so interested in that story. I feel like maybe someone listening today, you feel like you've not been heard. Maybe they've treated you like this is all in your head. And you're like, I know what it feels like to feel good, and I feel bad. I don't want you to give up hope, because as Dr. Troy said, there is an answer for every question, and may God give you wisdom and direction. So if you have more to say, I'm thinking you probably do, on the problem solving, how have you fallen off the wagon, so to speak, with your New Year's resolutions? How does that even affect your brain when you re-engage? Lots of good stuff. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. We'll be talking for a few more minutes, but if you don't mind sitting on hold, you'll be first in line. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio. He joins us every month. Health and Healing with Dr. Troy is what we call it. He's here to answer your questions. And as I said, we've got a little more conversation to have here, but the phone lines are open. If you don't mind listening while you're on the phone, hang in there. You will be one of the first up, 877-933-2484. And we saw those anonymous calls come in. Those questions are on the board right there, so I'll be sure to get to those as well. So you came in just with what was on your heart today, Dr. Troy, thinking about people who maybe set New Year's resolutions, but they've now fallen off. You said 21 days or something is kind of the average. Speak to that and just maybe how we can engage in a way that's healthy.
Well, I just want to talk a little bit as far as the process that goes into problem solving and decision making in our head, and kind of reframe the goals. I absolutely am all for refocusing at this time of the year. But a lot of times we kind of get so far down a negative track that we go all in with something and we just set ourselves up for failure. So I'm not necessarily a New Year's resolution type of guy, but what I always ask my patients, our goal is to get you into a diet and a lifestyle where you look at me and honestly say, I can do this the rest of my life.
Mm, that's fantastic.
And I can look at you and say, I honestly think this will help you for the rest of your life.
Mm.
When both of those things happen, then we know we're there and that's what you're striving for. And the reality is when you make little changes of habits, one little habit here, one little change there, that can be enough for the year and pretty good because it takes time to get to the point of being able to get into that.
To benefit
mm-hmm. and to be able to be okay with it. We have mm-hmm. such emotional ties to food and mm-hmm. such negative self-limiting beliefs set up that it takes some time most times to get through that. So give yourself some grace as you go through the process. So the first thing is if you've fallen off the wagon, so to speak, I don't want to see you on the news at the buffet line going crazy or anything like that. Like don't lose what you've gained because made gains.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important to just realize that you're not perfect and we're just going to get back on again and start slowly making those improvements. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what it looks like to problem solve because when you look at the fact that you just got off your diet or whatever it was, then you want to look at it and start problem solving. Okay, what was it that got in the way? So when you get stuck, ask a better question. Ask God a better question. Ask yourself a better question. Then sit back and listen. And I want to go through, funny enough, as this is, I'm a brain guy. I like how the brain works. I like studying the brain. I want to walk through what actually happens in this process in the brain.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
So decision making occurs primarily through an area of the brain called the basal ganglia, and there's three levels there. And while all the information kind of goes up into that first level, then you have that subconscious filter going on, and then there's a reaction to that first bit of information. Your brain analyzes that reaction to that first bit of information, and then it'll slowly pass it up. So we have all of these different analysis going on of the information coming back in this area of the brain called the basal ganglia, and the striatum is what I'm talking about right now. And so it filters all of this incoming information. Now, the basal ganglia really sets the tone for muscles and emotions. So there's output that happens from that as well. And it sends a particular image back to the area of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. And we start to see ourselves and the environment around us. And if we have made something up about ourselves, a self-limiting belief, it will influence whether or not we perceive what just happened as stressful or not.
Oh, my word. Okay, say that again, because
I
got it.
But
yeah. If you have a self-limiting belief, it will limit how far you can go because that's where your brain is basically drawing a line saying, you know, this far no more because you have a core belief. Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. And so you basically have to work on your self-limiting belief to ultimately get the physical action of not reaching for that Twinkie or that Snickers bar.
So is that a self?
And stop it.
So sorry, that's a self, kind of a self-sabotage then. So how do you go after a self-limiting belief?
So that's a subconscious self-sabotage because you're not really aware of it until afterwards. Then you feel guilty and then you're actually using that guilt to circumvent that same reflex again. So we're setting ourselves up for failure. So the way you go after it is, well, this is kind of the funny thing. What does... In the Bible, it says, be still. But this is what we know in the neurology world. Be still.
Wow.
With your mind.
Wow.
We have to stop and decrease our influence or our receptors, our firing of our receptors. So we have to calm down the signals going back to the brain. And so we end up getting all of these thoughts and these signals and everything going. And if we're in a really busy lifestyle, then all of a sudden that area of the brain can't filter and it increases your cravings and you make poor decisions.
Mm.
And so when we slow down and we stop with all of the experiences, if you will, then you take time, you pray, and you just close your mind down and you stop for a little bit and you just rest. that will slow down the signals. That allows your area of the brain now to send signals to the prefrontal cortex, and the right side of the prefrontal cortex is our creative side. It'll start to see things from our environment, and it'll start to come up with creative ideas to problem solve what you just ran into. And so when God says, be still in the Lord, that's a big part of it too. I look at that and I say, man, that is brilliant, because that's how the brain works. How did he know that?
Oh, wait, he made the brain. Yeah.
So it's one of those things. So the way that you, part of your program has to be stopping, slowing down in your life, looking at, is that getting in my way? It doesn't mean you stop working and you're not busy. You can be busy, but you need to take time to stop and slow things down. For me, that's being in the Word, Scripture. That is actually just stopping, closing my eyes, and trying to just focus on my breathing, not anything else. And when I get stuck, when I would be studying for tests, one of the best habits I ever did going through school is I'd get to a point where all of a sudden I wasn't remembering things anymore. And then I would go sleep, and everyone else would stay up and pull all-nighters. And I'd say, it's not sinking in, so I'm going to go sleep. And I'd get up the next morning, and all of a sudden it would be there.
Everything's firing.
Mm. And so that was me shutting things down. So we need to rest. We need to calm things down. We need to decrease some of the stimulus in order to problem solve.
Wow, isn't that something? So we're going to be pausing here for a break. I want to set up this question that we'll take on the other side. And Susan from Minneapolis, I see you. We'll get you here in a couple minutes. This anonymous caller says, has bad breath, has caused emotional and physical pain. She's tried some products mentioned, wheatgrass, chlorophyll products, but it hasn't gone away. Should she see a doctor? What else can she try? We'll tackle that one on the other side. We'll catch Susan's call. The phone lines are open, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. That's fascinating stuff, Dr. Troy. And that's one you're going to want to go back, I think, and catch the podcast and almost take notes, because there was so much there. More with Dr. Troy when we return. Many great songs out there. That one makes me want to get up and dance. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl of Synapse Center for Health and Healing in studio. He joins us every single month. And because I receive regular questions about where his clinic is, I'll just say it. It's in Eagan, Minnesota. People come from all over the place. So know that. You can do a Google search of Synapse. Eagan, Minnesota, you'll find it. Dr. Troy, we've got lots of questions coming in. Phone lines are open, by the way, 877-933-2484. So Susan's checking in from Minneapolis, and she's got a question regarding her daughter. Hey, Susan, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question. My daughter's 24 years old, and she's having a lot of fatigue and brain fog, and she's also having itching and hives, chronic canker sores, swollen lips, fever, not able to keep anything in.
Oh, man.
She's had a lot of tests from different doctors. Right now, she's trying to keep her inflammation down with alkaline, foods and water. There are autoimmune diseases in her family. I have MS. My daughter has polychondritis, my other daughter. And I'm just wondering, any suggestions?
Yeah, that's a lot. The scenario here is, especially with a family history of autoimmune, you want to make sure you get tested for leaky gut, and actually you can get a lot of information from that test. So when they test for the leaky gut, if she comes back positive, identifying which antibodies are actually off will tell you a little bit more of how this whole thing started. If it's autoimmune primary, then we'll see a particular type of antibody off. And sometimes it's infection, and sometimes it is hormonal or metabolic. And so getting the leaky gut test will give you the information as far as what to go after. Now, with autoimmune, you have to treat 8 different factors to balance it. With infection, because it definitely sounds like she has infection and allergies right now. And there are generally a lot of hidden infections. So we need to get an idea of how healthy her immune system is. Getting a sense of her vitamin D levels, they have to be as close to 80 as possible. If they're below 50, then it's not sufficient. And she has an active infection, which it sounds like she does. We want to keep them up as high and close to 80 as possible. Also, omega-3 fish oils and glutathione are two other key components to really helping the immune system fight off infection and also help with the actual autoimmunity if it's there. All of these things, the fatigue, the brain fog, as she starts to go on longer with this problem, we'll start to see a challenge with her ability to recover. And so it can induce the adrenal fatigue or the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal fatigue is what they're calling it now, as well as some sleep disorders. So it is a large, big process, but to get on top of the infection, and it could be anything from viral to fungal. One of the big ones that's often missed, if she's had a lot of the testing done, is a yeast or fungal infection that's ongoing as a byproduct to a bacterial, small intestinal bacterial infection that comes with leaky gut. So the leaky gut test definitely is the place to start because it'll point you in which direction to go as far as the metabolic, autoimmune, or infection. You will have to eventually treat all three, but that's nothing will get better until that leaky gut scenario is resolved. And then really trying to identify what are the infections and co-infections.
Thank you, Susan, so much for that call. So we set up this question before the break, so I'll have you revisit it. Anonymous caller said, has bad breath, has caused emotional, physical pain. She's tried some products like wheatgrass chlorophyll, but it hasn't gone away. Should she see a doc? What else can she try?
Yeah, so bad breath that is still there generally comes from a couple areas. It'll be gum disease. It'll be infection in the tooth. And so generally speaking, a dentist or ENT can help identify that. Also, thermography, you can start to get glean some information if you get a face picture when it comes to thermography to identify different infections as well. And then SIBO. So SIBO stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. The bacteria migrate from your large intestine to the small intestine, and they release methane and hydrogen. So the most common problems with breath that's non-dental or oral related is H. pylori infection in the stomach and the SIBO infection in the small intestine. Those you can get those breath tests done. So anyone who's complaining of bad breath, we want to actually check it with a breath test. So a lot of those tests can be done. You can order them from doctors to check for SIBO and for the H. pylori, and you can treat it naturally or traditionally. The traditional treatment for SIBO is Xifaxan, and it's very expensive, and in research and clinical study, it was found to be it was effective, but not quite as effective as the botanicals. So the botanicals are cheaper, and you've got oil of oregano and other factors in there. One of the things that there's a whole program when it comes to SIBO, but you have to make sure your stomach acid levels are normal. So have you ever been on antacid or you're taking antacids, that can set up the bad breath as far as the SIBO starting to come on. So get the testing done first for SIBO or H. pylori, and then whoever did the testing should be able to help quite a bit with putting you through the actual protocol. It's pretty easy once you've identified it.
Excellent. 877-933-2484. That's a toll-free call. You got a question for Dr. Troy. 877-933-2484. We've got a number of email questions. This one says, if you've been diagnosed with Lyme, EBV, which is, I believe, Epstein-Barr virus and other stealth infections, do you support other compromised systems like adrenal, thyroid, reproductive, hormones, while you're simultaneously trying to upregulate the immune system? Or do you wait for the immune system to be repaired to see if other systems will correct themselves and then address other systems affected if necessary?
This is a phenomenal question. This is a high-end
question. She knows
what
she's talking about.
Yes, she does. So yeah. I'm sorry for what you've gone through. I'll say that because that tells me that you are very educated and That comes
by
with
experience.
Yes,
right.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So my answer is both. You definitely, when it comes to the immune system, you have to take care of the infection and support the immune system. But I'll tell, this is my personal experience and my personal opinion. If you do not support the adrenals, the immune system will never come back. So you definitely want to support the adrenals. Once you've got your markers for the adrenals and the immune system rising, then you can start to support the other systems. So the hormone system, detoxifying hormone, heavy metals, that type of thing. Now, there is one caveat to that statement, and that is sometimes you need to support the liver and kidney system to buffer it so it's healthy enough to help the immune system. Because if the infection is significant and severe, the lymph system is going to be needing an exit route, if you will. And so occasionally you have to support those systems. If the bowels are not moving, then that also needs to be put into play. And a lot of times when people are going through significant detox or fighting these things off, we'll actually increase the magnesium, the fiber, whatever works for them to keep the bowels moving as they go through the detox process. Otherwise, all you're doing is reabsorbing the toxins you're getting rid of.
Whoa.
So definitely immune system with adrenals, and then you may have to support the liver, bowel, kidney components of it, and then do the other factors later. Now, I have a very highly educated colleague who goes after the heavy metals first, make sure the kidneys are okay. And so sometimes you can do that. I know you can do that because by pulling those out, you're creating a different environment. So if you're kind of stuck and the adrenals and the immune system is not going anywhere, then go ahead and kind of stop the immune system response and recovery. Pull out the heavy metals and balance the hormones to improve the pH of the environment, and then go back to the immune and adrenal. So I've seen it done both ways, and a lot of it has to do with the environment itself. Is the environment internally nurturing to a healthy immune system? That's a question you have to ask.
Wow. Okay, so Mark called in, says he has Raynaud's disease. Am I saying that right?
That's
the white hand. That white hand. When your hands get cold and they turn white, what's your understanding of this disease, and are there treatments for it?
Well, there are. I've been challenged by this one over the years, so I would say I'm probably maybe estimating here 30-40% effective, and so we can reduce it. So you have to treat it like a fight or flight autoimmune scenario. There are some, which means the nervous system has to be addressed, because the nervous system, when it gets triggered, will start to cause the circulation challenges. And so you have to look at what's triggering the nervous system. So getting deep sleep is very, very important. So restoring sleep, and like everything else with autoimmune, restoring the digestive tract. But there's one thing in particular that helps with the Raynaud's a little bit more, keeping your hands, the circulation going. L-arginine is a very good nutrient. So if you've done a lot of the other things to help with the Raynaud's, cleaned up the food allergies and reduced the stressors and what we call the sympathetic response, then you can start improving the circulation with L-arginine. And this is a little crazy, but you have to retrain your body to be okay with cold.
Really? Because that's what I was going to ask you. Is it better not to expose?
Well, it is, but this is what I've done to fix some of the people that
this
come in with it.
This is MacGyver way to do it.
We have a few MacGyver ways at Synapse. So I have a team luckily my team hangs with me with all these things. But we've exposed them to ice cubes. So we would do what we call neuromuscular reeducation, where we're retraining how the brain is communicating with the body, and we'll use exposure to ice cubes. We'll put ice on their forehead, ice on their body, start to retrain that it's not a negative thing. And so, and certain times it would actually take effect and other times it wouldn't. So I have a bit of a different philosophy with that particular one, but I will say right now, it's still one of our more challenging ones. That particular technique has not worked on every single person.
Interesting. But if it can help some, I mean, wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's grab this call before our break of this hour, 877-933-2484. Charles is checking in from St. Paul. Hey, Charles, thanks for holding. You're on with Dr. Troy.
Oh, hey. Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good to have you.
Oh, thank you very much.
What's your question today?
I don't know if it's a question, or I guess I want to see if maybe it's possible of getting a of ordering a brain scan. And I know, like the preface of that, I know in 2016 I had moved out from my parents' house. And then when I moved back, it just kind of things, you know, really became different. But then within that year, I was in 3 car accidents.
Wow.
And then so, you know, within those 2 car accidents, they all were my fault or anything, but then I just, with that, I've noticed that my mood has changed a lot and just different things like that, as well as, you know, trouble sleeping. And just really would like to know if it's a possibility that there could there be something wrong.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, because this is one of my soapboxes as far as, a lot of times people will have things happen and we just kind of put up with it. And what I like is that you're actually paying attention to some very, very key symptoms or feedback that your body's giving you here. First of all, first and foremost, car accidents can definitively cause problems within the muscles. In fact, there's a condition called dystonia where a lot of times it comes in on after trauma. It can be as much as a 5 or 10 mile an hour car accident. And there's a gene called the DYT1 gene on the 13th chromosome that gets activated with trauma. And so when you have that trauma, this gene affects an area of the brain called the basal ganglia that we were just talking about earlier that sets the tone for muscles and emotions. So the muscle tone can increase, which it does in dystonia, and the tone of emotions can change as well. So it's very, very important to actually get assessed to see if there's still some physical evidence that went uncorrected and start to reset it. Otherwise, it has the potential of constantly sending negative information back to that area of the brain that can start to affect mood. It can start to affect your flexibility one way or the other, mentally and physically. So we do see this quite a bit. So, Charles, I would really strongly recommend just getting assessed and getting a good neuromuscular evaluation to discern whether or not there's still some problems from these accidents. And sometimes you can be in a 60-mile-an-hour accident, walk away, and you're good. And like I said before, sometimes it's 5 mile an hour, and you've got a big, big challenge neurologically.
I mean, you talked about this on previous shows. So often it's, how did you show up to that accident? What's going on in your body before that? Do you have lots of inflammation? What's your diet look like?
You've been listening.
Come on, somebody. But it's a motivator, really, to bring inflammation down, try to get sugar out of your diet so that you can absorb some of life's trials when they come at us. And so many people live on the edge, and it just takes the slightest thing to knock them over.
Absolutely correct, yes.
Yeah, wow. All right, Debbie from Hartford, we're going to get you next. Hartford, Connecticut, good to have you listening today. We've got to take her question. We'll take yours as well if you want to call in. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl on the show for Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We're answering your questions. And when I say we, I mean he. 877-933-2484. Or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll get to as many as we can. Debbie's checking in from Hartford. She's got a question about her daughter. Hey, Debbie, thanks for holding. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My question is in regards to my 8-year-old daughter, who has been an eczema sufferer pretty much since she was born, coupled with asthma. She's been through quite a few courses of the normal steroidal creams, as well as on prednisone several times when her eczema is at its worst. We have identified an egg allergy as well as a dairy allergy. However, it just doesn't seem to subside. It's manageable, but it has not gone away. And I was just wondering if there was anything you could suggest.
Yes, absolutely. Keep working, because once you find it, there will be one thing that ends up tipping the scale here. So eczema is something that when we – you have to look at it. There's a couple of layers to it sometimes, but I'm going to throw some stuff out there. With the allergy testing, it's important that you test it in different ways. So, for example, there's IgE testing where they do the needle pinprick testing, and then there's the blood testing with IgG, and then there's actual intolerances, and you can test that kinesiologically. It's important to get testing done in different ways to try and pull out the different foods. Now, I will say this, as an adult, we would say do a modified elimination diet, because then you could really identify what foods might be causing it. When there's asthma, when I see asthma with eczema, you can take to the bank that there's a digestive problem going on here. So that can be a food reactant. Egg and dairy are very, very common. If it is wheat or gluten, which is the most common one, then if you've ever avoided it for 2-3 weeks, you should see a difference within 2 to 3 weeks. And wheat is the most common. Dairy is second most common, then corn after that. So you can try pulling these out. A lot of times you have to pull them all out at the same time. It may not be food at all, though. So here's a couple other clues. There are some deficiencies in omega-3 oils just in oils in general. If your daughter is known to produce earwax and a lot of it, that is a potential sign of omega deficiency. You can get lab tested for omega deficiency as well and see if she has it. We do see it even at 8 years of age, this deficiency, and eczema is one of the ways that it actually rears its head. And then getting a good idea of what's going on in the bowels, getting a stool analysis, a comprehensive digestive stool analysis by someone who does functional medicine will tell you about the bacterial imbalances. If the bacteria is imbalanced, then that could be causing the inflammation internally that's causing the effect on the eczema. So definitely keep looking at the bowels, because the combination of asthma and eczema means there's something inflammatory going on there. It's almost always an allergy, an intolerance, a deficiency in the fish oil, or a problem with infection or inflammation coming from something else with the probiotics, the good or bad bacteria.
Wow. Debbie, thank you so much for that call. Tim is checking in, and he's got a question for you. And this may have to be our last one just for this hour. I'm thinking we'll be kind of cutting it close, but we'll take more calls on the second hour here. Tim, you're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Yeah, hi. See, I had a question. I got diagnosed with Guillain-Barré, and it moved into the chronic version of that, which is CIDP, and I've had it for about 16 weeks, and I'm on a IVIG kind of a infusion program, and just wondering if that's the best scenario, or is there other things I should be looking at, or as far as, you know, trying to get rid of it.
Dr. Troy, will you explain Guillain-Barré? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
What is that?
Barré. It's a reaction to, well, let me ask you this. Did it come after getting any type of shot, or was it, did it come on all by itself?
No, just by itself. No sickness, no shots or anything.
Okay.
I know they say Guillain-Barré comes in really fast and kind of within a matter of a few days, you're really down. But this one actually progressed fairly slowly. But they initially called it Guillain-Barré, and then they, because of the length of time, now they call it the chronic version of that.
And do you have the glove and stocking feeling on the arms? Is it affecting your arms?
It's mainly my hands and feet at this point.
Hands and feet, both. But it's not gone up. It's not gone up into the towards the elbow. It's stuck. It's just in the hands.
Right. Right.
Okay. Generally speaking, you want to stick with your infusion program. But for me, we've treated this one like an autoimmune. But once you have it, it's almost like our MS patients, where we try and do the best we can to help with the quality of the nerves and the sheaths and get the immune system balanced. So for this one, the only other thing I can say is that moving forward, getting a good sense of where your immune system reaction is or your immune system reactivity is very, very important. And again, high levels of vitamin D, high levels of fish oil, and then making sure the liver system's working well. The infusion program actually is good. However, if you feel like there's not enough progress, then there's something else going on that helps set this up. And the compromise, usually where we see it, is in either a hidden infection again, or in the actual buildup of heavy metals that triggered an immune response, or in the liver system. So trying to identify which of those three systems is needing some help or support, and then supporting it, that's the only way to be able to see if there's anything that can be done. If there's damage to the nerves, then generally speaking, nothing can be done about that, at least with traditional and non-traditional at this point. But if we can potentially identify one of those three areas that might be compromised, and work on it now, then you have a chance to actually help yourself. So let's see how the infusions work for you as well. But that's generally what I've seen. It's a tough scenario.
So, Tim, thank you so much for that call. So would you mind, we just got a couple minutes left on this hour, Dr. Troy, explain what that particular disease is. Is it incurable? Is it like an MS type of condition?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it's one that's been in the news recently because there was a group of people that were getting some shots, and it was inducing that. And so it doesn't just come from that. Like you said, it can happen. Usually it comes on very quickly. So it's usually you get exposed to something, and we believe it's an autoimmune or immune response where there's an attack like an MS where it actually affects the sheath of our nervous system over top of the nerves. Guillain-Barré is falling into the same category, and it affects the hands and feet primarily, and it can go up and cause what's called like paresthesias, where you just feel like you're wearing those high gloves, if you will, all the time, or stockings, but you're not. So it's just gives altered sensation in the hands and feet, as far as you start to lose the reality of what you're actually feeling in the hands and feet. So
I just want to pray for Tim. Father, I just pray for Tim, and I thank you for him. You are the God who performs miracles. And it's just listening to a worship song the other day that nothing is impossible, nothing is incurable with you. And I just ask God for a miracle for Tim. I do pray you'd reverse this diagnosis. I pray that you would heal him from the top of his head to the tips of his toes. I pray you'd heal his hands and feet and every system in his body. I pray would support life and health. And I pray that to be the case for everybody listening today, Lord, everybody who's sick, that you would put right the things that are wrong, that you'd restore communication and restore cells and help us cooperate with you, Lord, in the process of healing. We love you so much. Thank you that you're a good father and you perform great wonders in our midst. In your name, amen. Well, this was hour one of Live the Promise. We've got another hour left with Dr. Troy. As I mentioned, hour two, we've got him in studio for about 40 minutes, and then he hops in the car to go to the airport. And just because we're desperate, we're going to try to call him in the car while he's on his way to the airport. And he said he'd answer. Let's just see if he does. So don't go away. Hour two is up next.